Yeah, g'day everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live with Winnie and Clarkie. We know you love that intro music. We love it as well. We are here to preview everything round 16 NRL. We're going to go through our origin team lists, head out some best bets, all that and more for this show. Before we get to all that, of course, let me welcome in the man of the hour, too sweet to be sour, more bets, more power, Jacob Wynn. How are you, mate?
Well, you made a little rhyme, mate. You must have got the creative juices flowing on your weekend out in the country. glad to have you back with me, mate, to talk special show tonight, right? We've got only five games of footy, but that's an opportunity for us. Not only are we going to talk origin because it's our first chance to react to the official team list for game two, but we're actually going to do a mid-season review and then a new mini preview, or at least share some new predictions now that we have seen half of the regular season, probably slightly more. It's crazy how time flies, but just in the rearview mirror is round 15, where we went 1-1 on best bets. The mixed matchup lost on a tie, the dreaded tie. It was 6-6. The same game, it was way off. But I do have three best bets to share this week. However, we want to do a little origin reaction first.
Three best bets. That's exciting. I can see Jamie is here, Lee's here, as is Jeff. G'day to all of our live viewers. We appreciate you being here with us. We're going to jump into our origin team list. We're going to go through and give our little reaction to both of them. I'll start us off with Queensland. So Tom Gilbert drops out. Jeremiah Nanai comes in. Jai Arrow is out. That brings Fotuaker in. And Cobbo has that hip injury, so Xavier Coates replaces him. My first thoughts I go to are, how much did Corey Oates factor into the selections here? Because Xavier Coates, whilst he's not in poor form, Corey Oates is sort of a proven winner there for Origin, big game player. He's come back from injury and been exceptional, really, in all of his games, had a 200-plus meter game. So I do wonder how much he factored in there. And then whilst I went down that rabbit hole, I started to think, I wonder if Kalen Ponga would have factored in for the wing had he have not ruled himself out of this Origin series. Because it sounds crazy, but let's not forget, Billy Slater himself, who was a great Origin fullback, did play on the wing. And we have seen a lot of wingers, Jared Hayne, Anthony Minicello, some greats for the Blues as well, play on the wing there, even though they are noted fullbacks. So that was where my mind went to straight away, Winnie. And then the only other change that really I had some question marks was, I had Corey Horsburgh ahead of Jeremiah Nanai. I think Horsburgh offers you more in defense, Nanai way more on attack, so I get it. And I did have Welch ahead of Fotuaker, not on form, just purely for his experience. So that's my question marks around the Maroon side. Any that jump out to yourself when you see that list?
So well, on your points there, that's a good point. Slater had the number five on his back when he scored that iconic try chasing Lockyer's kick. Look, I thought it has to be Coates or Oates. I'd be happy with either. I think Oates had his season hampered by the broken jaw. Xavier Coates has been going about his work pretty well. You know, the other X factor option would have been you slide Hammer to the wing and then you can bring Gagai back in. But I like that Billy's just gone like for like. I was picking Nanai, and in Billy Slater going Nanai and Fotuaker, in both cases, he's picked the younger, faster, more mobile player and maybe offering more in attack, but mobility important in defense as well. And maybe that's playing into a style that Billy is foreseeing in game two, that the game could open up a bit more and that teams have had a bit more time together, could play slightly more enterprising footy after the game. After the first game is always, you know, more of an arm wrestle and always tighter. Throw it back to you to talk about New South Wales, but we should also say Tuesday we will do a dedicated game two preview. So this is just really quick reactions to the teams, and we encourage you guys to share your thoughts on the origin selections.
Absolutely. And I love the point you raised there about the back row selection. Maybe, you know, him seeing Ruben Cotter, someone who's a bit more mobile, moving to that edge, and he thought, I like this a bit more than I thought I'd like. Of course, Tom Gilbert was forced out mid-game. For the Blues, Appy Coruscant out, Damian Cook in. Stephen Crichton out, Latrell Mitchell in, Cleary out, Moses in, Hines out, Robson in, and Pengai Jr. out, Uto Ikemanu in. So a fair few more changes there for the Blues. I guess I'll start with the bench, whether Nicho Hines was going to be the 7 or the 14. A lot of people think he was unlucky to miss out completely. I get where the Blues are going here. The two-hooker system has always worked for the Maroons. It's worked for them in the past. And Andrew Johns, one of their advisors, was pretty passionate on the post-game panel that you need to have two hookers in Origin. With Coruscant gone, Robson is, of course, your next best. And the Mitchell Moses selection is, to me, I don't have too much wrong with it. The reaction online seems very, very irrational and just straight away without, you know, thinking it out. I mean, let's think about it. Hines was my pick, so I completely understand some of the arguments. But Mitchell Moses has played in a big game, being a grand final last year. He started in Origin before. And when he did start in that Origin game, he broke his back and still finished with 2 try assists playing through the pain. I think the Blues realize how important the kicking game is going to be. And let me just cast everyone's mind back to, I think it was the Panthers game for Mitchell Moses. He broke the record for the most ever meters kicked in a game. And I believe he had the match-winning field goal as well. So he had the golden boot that night. It will be his kicking game will be very, very important for me. And I'm going to say something controversial here, Winnie, but I would have kept Pangai Jr. on the bench over its Uta Ikemanu. I wouldn't have started Pangai Jr. if I was picking a blue side, but I wouldn't be dropping him now. If he was good enough 2 weeks ago, he's still good enough for that 17 somewhere, in my opinion. What do your thoughts go to when you look at this Blues lineup?
I've got nothing wrong with Stefano. I mean, it's a middle forward prop who's going to play a small burst. So you just want some powerful carries, and Stefano will certainly deliver that. I mean, Kalo Matangi, he's a different player. I feel more versatile, but I think hard done by to not be on the bench. I think Kalo Matangi would be a better option than Frizzell. But as it stands, Frizzell is starting. That's right. And they've slid Hudson Young to the bench, and then they're saying that Martin will start. And speaking of who starts and who doesn't, two-hooker system where I think Robson could, in fact, even get the start, a la Penrith Panthers, what worked for them in the finals series last year, which was you play your backup nine the first 20-25 when the sting is really in the game, and they can just play ultra-physical, which Robson can do, and he can hit hard, and he can get through a lot of work, and then bring Cookie on for the final, say, 55 hour of the game to do his thing. However, I do think it's a risk. In the modern day, more than ever, players are forced off the field because of the HIA protocol. I do think you really need either a utility to cover the back line or a good plan to cover the back line, because there's a fair chance you're going to lose someone from 1 to 7. And I'm not sure what New South Wales are going to do. I dare say someone like Hudson Young or Cam Murray are going to find themselves in the centres. And I kind of disagree with the notion that came out after game one, which was you have to have a plan for all 17 players that you pick, because I actually think the players that get picked are the best of the best, right? Everyone 1 to 7 plays a full game. All second rowers who are good enough for Origin play 80 minutes these days. Most elite locks play 80. All the elite hookers play 80. You only really need to rotate the props. Now, I get the argument. It's a more physical, it's a faster game. So some players that usually play 80 need a spell. But I feel like there's nothing wrong with having 3 forwards on your bench and a utility who may or may not get on. So I would have probably picked Burton or stuck with Hines. But I just feel like New South Wales were worried about the criticism of putting a player on the bench that might not get used. That seemed to be a bit of the narrative out of Hines. You know, the fact that New South Wales, he wouldn't have got on the field for them probably if not for Turbo being knocked out with that HIA. But I can understand the two-hooker system. It's just strange to me because Brandy literally said the two-hooker system doesn't work for us. And that was the reason for only picking Coruscant game one. They've kind of backflipped. And as for the halfback argument, I do agree with you because I also said I'd go Hines being a logical 7 because he'd already been in the camp, been in the team for game one. But I think people are mistaken if they assume he was automatically next in line behind Nathan. Hines was in the team last game for a different reason other than being the second best halfback available. He brought the versatility and utility factor. You would never have had Adam Reynolds or Mitch Moses on the bench in number 14, but they are better halfbacks right now. I agree with you. I know Moses got a far easier opponent to show what he was capable of on the weekend than what Nicho Hines did, but I said myself on Sunday, I would not have had confidence picking Nicho after that Storm game. Sorry if it's an overreaction. If you watch that game, it would have been hard to have a lot of faith for a New South Welshman. So I had the same point about Moses. He's been there before. And Queensland was a stronger team in that game 3 than they were in the first 2. People don't like Mitchell Moses, I feel. He gets a lot of criticism and vitriol, which I don't think is that deserved. He's a halfback that's in his prime. He's a hell of a player. And as you said, he had a spinal injury in game 3, or he broke his back anyway, and he gets another opportunity, and we're going to preview that one in depth 6:30 p.m. Tuesday night.
Yeah, just a few quick comments before we move on. I completely agree with how, you know, the hypocrisy that the two hooker system doesn't work for us, but then they pick Hines to play hooker, but not yes. Which was strange, but I still stand by my comments. I believe they should have brought Matt Burton on in game 1. It's now being confirmed that the NRL gave him the option. You can bring Burton on because Turbo can't return from foul play. Obviously, with 10 minutes to go, 15-minute head injury assessment, ruled out immediately. Burton could have came on and Hines could have came on a hooker there. They opted not to go that way. Queensland do have the advantage because whilst Ben Hunt does play hooker for them, naturally he is a halfback or a 5'8", so there's that versatility instantly in the two-hooker system. And Keon Kolomatangi, when you talk about versatility, hooker for Tonga in the World Cup, prop back row and centre for the Rabbitohs over the years. And of course, starting with Reece Robson, the team that has the most dummy half runs this year is the Cowboys, him being their main dummy half. Anything further from yourself before we kick over to our best bets?
No, I appreciate the kind comments coming through. Let me give you guys some best bets in return. So I got three. I'm going Newcastle Knights, -4.5, $1.91, best price on sports bet. And they host the Roosters. And I know people might initially do a double take looking at the Knights favored by so much over the Roosters. It's justified. The Knights only lose really Frizzell in this game, while the Roosters lose Teddy and Lindsay Collins as well. They miss one other off the top of my head. We'll get to it in depth anyway. But when I look player by player as well, I think the Knights are the stronger team. Players like Manu, they're just not playing the same level this year, where Ponga looks electric. You mentioned before, if he hadn't taken his hat out of the ring, he would have had strong consideration to still be, you know, in that Queensland squad. And other players are going really well too for the Knights, like Bradman Best, Dom Young. The forward pack too are just younger players, more energetic. And at home, I think they'll run through the Roosters. I'm happy to lay under a converted try. Then I'm going Manly Seagulls, +2.5 in the first half against the Eels. $1.88. Ladbrokes is the best price. And I'll bring that graphic up again. But also like the Seagulls +4.5, 5.5 in that game, because I think it's a pretty much a coin toss. And I think the Eels losing not only Mitch Moses, but on the back of Dylan Brown, they're coming into this game with Dejan Arzi and Ryan Madison in the halves. I know that Manly's got a new halves combination too. In fact, it's the son of the Eels coach, but I think Jacob Arthur knows exactly who he's going up against, won't be overawed. And I even think Kyle Weeks can plug and play at fullback, and a lot of the other Manly outside backs are really going strongly at the moment. And I think Manly's forward pack matches up pretty well against Paris too, so don't see a great edge there. So I'm happy to take a full 2.5 in the first half. And then I'm going the West Tigers +7.5 at $1.85 on Top Sport is your best price. They host the Melbourne Storm at Campbelltown. And once again, I just don't see that much separation. I don't see justification for Melbourne to be over a converted try. Favourites on the road, missing 4 or 5 key players in this one. Obviously, the best player this year has been Harry Grant, and Munster's out as well. Welsh, I believe, is out for this game because he's not named, although he's not in the Queensland 17, but he's on the extended bench. And I feel like there's another out for Melbourne as well. I know that the Tigers have some key players missing themselves, but I still just didn't think there was that much between the teams. And I want to take the side that's off a pretty substantial loss, but I think it's forgivable given that the Tigers lost key players in the game against your Gold Coast boys, Clarkey, while the Storm are off their best win of the year. I don't think they're going to quite be able to replicate that one. I could see it being a pretty tight game, and I'm happy to get the 7.5 start with Wes.
Yeah, love 2 out of 3 of those bets. Really love 2. And the one that I'm not 100% keen on is that Tigers and Storm game. But you make a great point. No Munster, Grant, Christian Welch, Eliezer Katoa.
Katoa, the eye injury is the other one I was missing. Yeah.
I think they're missing an outside back as well. Remus Smith's under an injury cloud. So whilst I am probably leaning towards the Storm in that one, I don't think that's a bad bet either. But let's jump into it all. We have a short round. We've only got the 5 games. So we kick it off on Friday, 8 p.m. when the Cowboys host the Panthers at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. For the Cowboys, Jason Damalolo returns from his knee injury. All their Origin reps are unavailable. You guys know who they are. For the Panthers, all their Origin reps are missing also. So their new halves is Jamin Salmon, and Jack Cogger. And of course, the line is set at -3.5 in the Panthers' favor. Cowboys are at home here, Winnie. Can you smell an upset, or you think the Panthers' sort of backup side will still have enough to get the job here?
Look, I think 3.5, this is one of the 2 games this round I don't have a best bet on. I think it's pretty accurate. So an upset for sure. Well, you say, hang on, you've got that round the wrong way. I'm pretty sure. The Cowboys are the favorite, I believe, -3.5. So it wouldn't be an upset if the Cowboys get the home win. The first thought that came to my mind in this game is actually back to last year. It was the final game of the regular season. And the beauty of watching the recap, do you guys remember when I said the Cowboys, I think they are only like 5.5-point favorite at the time, but that Penrith wasn't going to play anybody in the final game of the season. And sure enough, gave you Cowles 13 plus, Cowles minus 5.5, and they closed like nearly 20-point favourites. They won the game by 30 points. We had won the mixed matchup. One of those rare occasions where betting can be easy when you just get on a golden tip like that. Now, they meet at the same venue, and once again, some Penrith stars will be out, but it's not the New South Wales Cup squad this time for the Panthers. It's just 5 Origin reps out. So again, Stephen Crichton is not named. So that must just be standard now, because I know it in the past players have gotten a release. Okay, so 18th, but Christian Welsh is like 19th man, isn't he? And he's still... So in the past, players have gotten a release. That's why I'm just tentative, but it seems to be the case. The clubs just let them stay in camp and make do without them.
So 19th man can be released, 18th can won't. Be. Christian Welch won't be because he's suspended for the hip drop tackle.
Ah, the suspension as well. So that's another player who Melbourne are, of course, missing. Even better for my Tigers' best bet, right? So, okay, so we understand who's out for Penrith, and, of course, Cleary, you know, would be out either way. So it's really like 6 Origin stars are out, but the Cowboys are missing 5 stars of their own. Did you just clarify, Clarkey? Cowboys are favourites in this game?
No, I just double-checked then. Panthers minus 3.5 still on toppy.
Geez, I feel like I should like the Cowboys now. That means it's my mistake. I must have read it wrong. I read it wrong. So I think that tells you a lot. I read this as Cowboys minus 3.5 and thought it was about right. So I almost feel like on the spot. So why don't I just do that? We'll break protocol. Let's just play Cowboys plus 3.5 because I thought that the Cowboys should be slight favorites in this game. So I will let you guys know the best price. That's my mistake. I misread that one. But the reason I didn't double take is I thought the Cowboys should be a slight favorite for me. So make that a 4th best bet. The reason being, look, I wish I was on Penrith last week. I talked about that in the recap. There should have been a best bet, basically full strength outside of Cleary a week ago. But that doesn't mean I want to jump on him a week too late. I think the Cowboys have the edge in the halves here with Tommy Dearden being the key. I think outside backs are pretty even. I look at the forwards. I think the forward packs are pretty even. I know you're going to look at Penrith's forward pack and you're going to see Leota and Vicious Fish and say that's, you know, the best 1-2 punch in the comp. That clearly going to run through the Cowboys. But I look at the Cowboys' back row with the return of Taumalolo there. And obviously, Leilua's returned in the last month or so and Lukey was injured earlier this year. I think that evens it out. And then on top of that, you've got Cowboys at home and off a bye, which is why I thought this would be a great game. I thought the Cowboys should be a slight favorite. So I wasn't playing it when I misread the line. But the fact that the Cowboys are an underdog, Clarkie, you share how you see this one, because I do see a potential upset, and I will tell people where the best price is and they can lock that in as a official 4th best bet for the pod.
Perfect, mate. I love it. We've got history on the show, well, at least while I've been on the show, a best bet during progress. Mate, I go the exact same as you. I look at those forward packs, and you just think with Jason Taumalolo returning, Helan Lukey, Luciano Leilua, Cohen Hess, Jordan McLean, and Jake Granville there, they've all got credentials, but it's the halves that really separate this one for me. Give me Tom Dearden and Chad Townsend every single day of the week over Jamin Salmon and Jack Cogger, respectfully. Dearden, an Origin rep player who came in game 3 last year and won the series, and Chad Townsend, of course, one of the few premiership winners in this competition at halfback. So I put this game probably 60-40 to the Cowboys. I don't have it quite 50-50, but I think if you're going to give it 60-40 to the team that's the underdog, you've got to take them, right, in this case. Both sides, big changes. But yeah, just for Panthers, I just think they're still a talented side. They've still got a strong forward pack, and they've still got some talent in the outside backs there. But will the halves pairing of Salmon and Conger truly be able to unlock this Panthers side? Will they be able to steer them around the park like Nathan Cleary or Jerome Luai would? I probably don't think so. The numbers don't look great for this one. The Cowboys have conceded a huge 200 more points than the Panthers so far this season. But again, a lot of the Panthers' defensive structure is being changed with all of their Origin reps out and new players in. And Panthers have won 4 of their last 5 against the Cowboys, but none of those games were around Origin time either. So if you go off the numbers, it looks like Panthers should be the favorites here, but I agree with Winnie. I think there's great value there taking the Cowboys at plus 3.5, or did you happen to find anything different?
Yeah, well, look, they're 5.5 on better at $1.72. So that that's too low to be a best bet price, but it's still a pretty good bet. Or I've just backed it on Dabble 2.5, which is basically the same as 3.5, but $1.95, that's the best price. So you can just copy me on Dabble. We got a tripod code to join Dabble as well. So as JK says, or you could take Cowboys plus the 0.5 point first half, you certainly can. And I even saw the Cowboys odds dropping on Toppy before my eyes, just because I'd already said the best bet before I locked in the best price. But $1.95 is the best way to play that, in my opinion. And yeah, that was kind of thinking on my toes, but honestly, my mistake for not having it correct the first time around, but hopefully it's all's well is going to end well. And we're going to kick off the round with a best bet winner there with North Queensland.
Yeah, I'm excited for this game. Now, will this game be our better same game multi, or have you added another one off for this round?
No, that's a Thursday night, right? I'm not totally losing my mind, am I?
This will be Friday, 8 p.m., so we won't have a Thursday night this game, this round.
Oh, geez, I'm off the boil so far. Okay, so we've got five games. So we've got, the one Friday?
Yep. Super and then Saturday, what, one
a
Sunday.
A triple header Saturday. Oh, sorry, yeah. I looked at the slate and thought we must be going 1-1-2. Okay, well, this will be our better same game multi as well. So, you know, I'll probably build something into the Cowboys. However, if I do like something better on the Saturday, I can audible and change the plans Friday arvo. But either way, I'll come up with something that I really like to share out.
Yeah, stick with us on this better same game multi. So our same game multi will be brought to you by Betr. We're looking to get back on the horse. Winnie will be cooking up a juicy multi potentially for this game. Maybe another one. We'll make sure we get the best one possible for you guys. But the sign-up link is in our show description. So if you want to go ahead and prepare now while we're live, please feel free to do so. But just remember, before jumping on any bookie, think, is this a bet you really want to place? For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website. That information is also in this show description if you are listening as a podcast. There we go. Friday night with the Cowboys game just got a hell of a lot more exciting for me, despite the big players going out. Well, let's move on to the Super Saturday. We open it up at 3 p.m. The Knights host the Roosters at McDonald Jones Stadium. The line is set at -5.5 in the Knights' favor. Probably the first time Knights have being favourites against the Roosters in a long time, in my opinion. For the Knights, they're that Greg Marzu. He actually missed the team bus, so Inari Chuala comes in on the wing. Frizzell was in origin, but that's largely mitigated by the return of Lachlan Fitzgibbon from that calf injury. For the Roosters, a spine reshuffle. Joey Manu moves to fullback. Sandon Smith. Now, I got a message about this guy last year when he's saying, watch the Bears halfback. He's very good. He gets his first NRL game at halfback, so that's exciting for him. And Matt Lodge has been completely dropped. Terrell May comes onto the bench instead of him. You're leaning with the Knights in this one, as I understand it. Maybe a chance to tell us a little bit more why.
I do like the Knights, and I assure you guys, I was really well prepared for today's pod. I mean, the only thing I can excuse myself is we added the extra task of looking at the whole ladder. I've done a deep dive on that today as well to share some future predictions and talk about where we have gone wrong in our preseason. I can't wait to talk about a few of these games, even though so far I've gotten one wrong day and one wrong, totally wrong line. But what we do have is another game where I've got a best bet and I feel good about it. And -4.5 for Knights is the way I want to play it. And I know, as I said at the top, some people might be surprised by that line. But as I said a week ago, when Newcastle was also a best bet, it was about the strongest 1-17 the Knights had named all year. And you said it there. Frizzell's out, but you get back Fitzgibbon. So you don't lose a great deal at all. While the Roosters are severely understrength, and then we said it before, losing Teddy Collins and Matt Lodge was the other name that escaped me, not to Origin, but still another important player who's not going to be part of the side. And it's at McDonald's Jones. I think that this line's actually light. You have one possibility that the Chooks are just cooked this season. And we keep waiting. A lot of us just keep waiting for the Roosters to put it together and to rebound and rebuild their season and start playing like a top four side, which did happen in the final third of last year. But it just might not come. It might not be their year this year. And as I said before, some great players on the Roosters team. They're just not the same as what we've been used to. I mentioned Manu, but obviously Angus Crichton is not quite the same player this year. Maria Hargraves is really getting on. The Knights, I have a bunch of young throbbers who are just who are thriving at the moment. And, all the forward pack, all in the 20s, are just going to keep rolling straight into that Roosters side. you know, my only hesitation with this is I'm taking O'Brien coaching against Robinson, and that's probably the biggest edge I can find for the Roosters, but it should not be enough to overcome, I just think, the force that the Knights can play with here. And I think the Knights are fresher, just going the better, and I'll get behind them and lay under that converted try.
My concern for the Roosters issue has been their attack. And I sorry, I haven't pre-planned this, so I'm going to find out whether I'm correct or not. So I got up the ladder from this year and last year while you were talking, round 15. So they're currently on 6 wins with 7 losses, and they've scored 210 points. At this stage, and they sit in 12th position. This year, at round 15, they sit in 9th with 7 wins and 8 losses, so pretty much identical record. But their 4 was 319. So they're 120 points roughly short. 110 roughly short this year of where they were last year. And that's my first note I have here, that both sides coming off losses, fair enough. But for the Knights, I look at it more like the Panthers game, where they were good, they were in it, they competed really well, and they just lost to an elite side, which the Broncos, we can put in that category now with the Panthers, Storms, etc. of the competition. Whereas for the Roosters, it was just lackluster again. It was like the Dragons game that they only just lost. It was like the Warriors win, that was lackluster. It was like their loss last round. It's all been lackluster, and it's all around their, can I say, pathetic offense? Because it's just not clicking, is it? It's a top 8 side. It's a top 4 side on paper. And when you look at it that way and who they have and what they should be doing, it's pretty bad. So, look, I think Roosters this year, I'm almost prepared to put a line through them, Winnie. I'm almost at that point where I just go, sorry, finals. And I think they are too. News today, they are looking to offload at least 12 players at the end of this year. So yeah, Roosters' attack is statistically the worst of any team so far this season. On average, it's 10 points less than what they averaged overall last year. So that's 2 tries short per game. Knights' home record, got to give them a rap, Winnie. You'd know when we started this show, all my stats around their record at home was horrible. They've really built that back this year. It's 4 out of their last 5. And that one loss was to the Panthers by 1 point. What was it? A try, whatever it was. There's no shame in that loss at all.
Yeah, golden point.
There you go. So no shame in that loss at all. They've really worked hard on that. So I've got as my final note here, Knights 13 plus makes sense to me. So I think the fact you're taking them at you know, half of that sums up. We're both pretty confident.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to have a mixed matchup built into this, and it's going to be built into the Roosters' struggles in attack, which, again, I think Radley is the key missing puzzle piece. And then again, I've mentioned Brandon Smith before, the big signing. Of course, Teddy's out this week. I mentioned again, Manu used to be like my favorite player. I watch him really closely. He's just not impacting the game the way he used to. One other point to add on this one, because you just said you like Knights 13 plus 2, your take on Toppy is back, and you're going the man who is getting an opportunity on the wing to show what he can do in place of the man who is still probably waiting at a bus stop. Inari Tuala, $2, which is the best available price on the market for an anytime try for the Knights winger, Clarkey, and you can even build that into a same game multi.
Mate, you take that because you think he's only had the one game this year in round 1, and that was at center, and he hasn't been back in grade since, so in the NRL since. So I really think replacing Greg Marzuier is going to come in with confidence, with a want to impress, and you just think how many Marzuier scoring down that side where he's going over untouched. Chuala could more or less do the same here in a game where I do see the Knights winning by a decent margin. And yeah, to finish off on the Roosters, Winnie, Radley, round 17, he doesn't come back. Connor Watson's round 20. Brandon Smith's round 19. And Joseph Suoli is round 18. So they've still got some superstars on the sideline in this one. Saturday, 5:30 p.m., the Eels host Manly at CommBank Stadium. The line is set at -4.5 in the Eels' favour. For the Eels, their halves are, and I have to pause and double check this is real life, Ryan Madison and Dejan Arce. And I've got some ugly stats around that to get into later. Hodgson's still out. And of course, Joe Offerhand Gowrie returns via their bench. So that really helps them. For Manly, Weeks and I was about to say Brad Arthur and Jake Arthur replaced Turbo and DCE. Josh Alloyer returns via the bench. How are you going in this one? Is it going to be Brad going home to the family household with a smile on his face? Or is it going to be Jake giving his dad a little bit of banter post-game in your mind?
Yeah, hopefully it's a couple of Jacobs who are happy after this game, although I don't need the Seagulls to win. I just need them to cover the first half line, which could mean the game is level or even I've got 2 points up our sleeve. And as I said at the top, I like Manly plus the full game 5.5 as well. You know, had I been able to get a 6 or 6.5, then I'd play that for sure. It should be a good game. That's my point. But if I think a game's 50-50, I'll take the underdog with that amount of points. It went down to the wire in round three, I want to say. It was pretty early in the year when these sides hooked up. And I think Manly got the win something like 34-30, which was an entertaining game. It's an intriguing one again in round 16. Well, I mean, both these sides came off big wins last week. Both are missing two key players. You could say three key players for the Eels if you count the loss of Dylan Brown, which is pretty recent. As I said before, you got one team's head coach's son starting at halfback for the opponent. Look, Madison, I don't think it's crazy to play him at six. Actually, it's quite well known he was Australian schoolboy's halfback. So he's got, you know, some ball playing in him. And you know, you can just be more of a running six as well. Six is not that different to a 13 in some schemes. Again, we are going to do a mid-season review at the end of this show. And when you look at how close and how hot the finals race is this year, you realize games like this one, Parramatta Manly, could ultimately decide who make the eight. And I will spoil ahead and say I have Parramatta finishing ahead of Manly by round 27. The ladder's a bit funny at the moment. I believe Parra's got one more win than Manly, but Manly are higher on the ladder thanks to the buys. So by the end of the year, I think it could be the other way around. But again, I'm still taking Manly with the start. And I think it comes down to the spine for Parramatta when you're missing Hodgson, Moses, and Brown. I know Gutho will step up and he'll ball play to take some pressure off. But I feel like Manly's spine may actually still go quite well despite losing DCE and Turbo. As crazy as that sounds, because I think Schuster can do more. I think Weeks offers something different. Croker has had a strong year. I love Manly's new mix of the outside back. Shifting Garrick to centre has actually worked pretty seamlessly. And not to mention a longer turnaround for Manly as well. They're a confidence side, so I don't mind playing them off a big win. It might have been just what they needed to click into gear. So it's a great play for me. I've got a clip to share that backs it up even further. But why don't you, you can share your complete thoughts on this game first, and then I'll tee that one up.
Perfect. Yeah, so while you were talking, I went back. It was round three. They met 34-30. The Seagulls defeated the Eels at home. Though it was noteworthy at that stage, the Eels were just kept versing teams off byes, and that was one of those. You referenced the Junior Kangaroos game where Ryan Madison was at halfback, and I actually came across the highlights for that the other day. I'm just going to read out some names from that Kangaroo side. Gutherson, Holmes, Jack Bird, Aitken, Lodge, McInnes, Offerhand, Gowie, Pengo Jr., Munster. It was a crazy under 20 side and not one that I expected.
How much did they win by? Jeez,
I don't remember.
Must have put 60 or 70 on the poor Kiwi boys.
Yeah, well, the Kiwi side was just as strong, though. There's some good names in that as well. But yeah, I remember coming across that on YouTube. Griffin Neame gets smashed off the kickoff, the Cowboys prop, if anyone's interested in seeing it. But yeah, I'm going to go another upset here. And I'm going that by just looking at both halfbacks. I think Jake Arthur here will be really keen on a big performance. Let's not forget how maligned he was at the Eels to the point where he was literally booed off a game by the Eels that they won. Constant criticism online. And the thing that really, I guess, touched my heart and I felt so sorry for him was there was a report that came out via Wild World of Sport, Channel 9, that as he was walking off the field, like a 16-year-old kid and his mum asked him for a signature. And he actually said, "Are you sure?" Because he was just so down on confidence at that stage. Like, it's, you know, if you don't laugh, you'll cry. I've never heard of an NRL player that low on confidence. So I think he has a lot to play for. Meanwhile, Dejan Arce has not played one New South Wales Cup this year at halfback. Only 12 times in his New South Wales Cup career or Queensland Cup career has he. And he's only won 4 of those. He played NRL for one game at halfback for the Cowboys. That was a loss also. And I just don't think he's going to get too much support from Ryan Madison there at 5'8". He hasn't played in the halves since 2019, and he lost his last two NRL games at 5'8 for the Tigers in the halves. This is the first time since 2019 the Eels will be without Dylan Brown and Mitchell Moses in the same game. So we're going back 4 years there, Winnie. That's a big change to lose both at the same time. So I think Eels are really going to struggle to move that ball around effectively and attack the try line. And I just think that Jake Arthur is going to steer this Manly side to a victory. I'm going the way of Manly and you are going the mixed matchup. What have we got?
Yeah, I'll put that up, but I'll respond to some comments. So the Absolute says you could have got 6.5 about the Cowboys on Tuesday. And I'm trying to figure out what was the selection that surprised people, that tilted this in the Cowboys' favor? Because if anything, the Cowboys lost Robson, which might have been a bit surprising. Although we knew that on Monday, I'm pretty sure you posted that. He had to get on a flight on Monday. So I'm not sure if this line is crunched down more because Taumalolo being named on Tuesday maybe wasn't a certain starter, and he would be worth a couple of points, especially in a week where, you know, if quite a few stars are out, what a boost it is to get one back. In any case, well done if you got 6.5. It never should have been that high, in my opinion. Cameron Smith, and someone who should know about salary caps, says that Manly are actually missing 500,000 more of salary cap than the Eels. But to me, I'm like, what, Turbo's a million, DC's a bit over a million, right? But Moses is a million. Junior Barlow's, what 700,000. And then as Ryan says, are you including Dylan Brown? Dylan Brown's, you know, probably a 700,000 player as well. So to me, I don't think Manly comes in with, then how far do you go? I suppose Jake Trbojevic is still out and stuff. I get that as well. But look, I'm comfortable with actually who is able to line up for Manly, as you mentioned, with a couple of troops back in the forwards as well. So let me share a clip which further backs up the Manly pick before I will then run you guys through the mixed matchup. Nicole from WikiAI has a try scorer tip for this game.
2 weeks ago, we had our best weekend with try scorers in the NRL in 2023. Last weekend, we had one of our worst, but with Tom Turbo being cleared to play, with Cody Walker being ruled out, we nailed a couple of early lines, and obviously we're just trying to find different ways to find value for you guys in the NRL. You can Google Wiki Linktree and check out our content and data tools and Discord for free. The player that I'm going to talk about here is Hamale Olokuatu. He was $4 to score a try anytime yesterday, but he's still $3.60 on BetR. I love the value there. Good luck, everyone. Gamble responsibly.
Thanks, Nicole. So he two likes Manly, so that feeds perfectly as a segue into my mixed matchup this week. Seagulls to outscore Roosters, 235 underdog in this. You can up to 200 on that on Toppy if you like it. And the code is TP Live to get a Toppy account if you need one. And we've discussed that the Roosters are struggling to score, and I don't think they're going to have a lot of joy in the Hunter. They're against a pretty much a full strength Knights side. So I don't think Manly will need a heap of points. And look, it's a bit of the unknown on Saturday when these sides hook up with totally new halves combinations. But I still think there's enough weapons in the kind of the outside backs for Manly and enough about them in this game that they're going to go closer to victory than what the Roosters do earlier that afternoon, in my view. So I really like the 235 there.
Yeah, I completely echo that as well. I love that the mixed matchup is back-to-back games. That way we kind of know, you know, it makes it exciting going one to the other, I think, anyway, making them feed into each other there. But yeah, sounds like we're both on Manly there for a big win. And Nicole from Wikis on big Hamale Olokuatu to show why
he thinks he should have been. You know, and another guy who you know, couldn't have been far away, like just hasn't quite put together his best season. But you know the guys that get snubbed for Origin are quite often in line for our statement games when they're playing, when they feel like they should be in camp.
Mm. No, Hamale Olokuatu had to have come close. I know the Manly social media team certainly thought so as well with some of their posts. But we close out Super Saturday at 7:35 p.m. Tigers host the Melbourne Storm at Campbelltown Sports Stadium. The line is set at -7.5 in the Melbourne Storm favour. For the Tigers, their new halves are Brandon Wakeham and Stafford Toa, and Talon De Silva, an 18-year-old hooker. They have pretty big raps on, actually, debuts from the bench with Jake Simpkin replacing Apisai Kotosau on the starting side. For the Storm, Jonah Pezet and Bronson Garlick replaced Munster and Grant. And, of course, Eliezer Katoa and Christian Welch are both out as well. Big changes for both sides, but you like the Tigers at home in this one.
Yeah, when there's big changes, there's more uncertainty. So I'll take that healthy start that we're getting with the Tigers, who, as I said, at the top, play at home at Campbelltown. In the recap, I talked a lot about Melbourne being hot and cold this year. And again, we're going to do our mid-season review. One of my bigger preseason predictions was Melbourne will not make the top four. You actually disagree with that, Clarkie. Right now, they sit third. They have had two buys, which helps a little bit. But the odds say they're 50-50 right now to make the four or not. So I'd like to know what our followers think. Right now, are you picking Melbourne in the four or not? Pappenhausen's still to return, but we don't know, you know, exactly what kind of player he will be when he comes back. But from what you've seen from Melbourne, which has been quite inconsistent, but has been great at times, do they ultimately make the top four? Have you got four sides ahead of them. On this occasion, as we've said, Melbourne will be without five key players, while the Tigers will be without three key players. And I believe that, you know, the loss of Appy and Brooks was quite a bit to do, not to take a lot away from your Titans, mate, congratulations, but had a bit to do with probably the magnitude of that result and the Tigers' inability to fight back in that one, as they have fought back in many other games. And that's the extra advantage you do get with the plus 7.5. They could be down a couple of tries. You actually know that this Tigers side, under this, you know, under the Sheenius, they don't give up easily, and you can sometimes get in the back door. So when I looked at both squads, I do acknowledge Jerome Hughes should be the best player on the field and probably should lead Melbourne to a win. I also acknowledge that historically Melbourne have come into games seemingly depleted in an Origin week, and Bellamy gets the best out of them, and they often still play very solid. However, I just like the Tigers, the way they're going at the moment. Stafford Tyre has been in great form. I know he might not be a 5'8", but just getting him with his hands on the ball and play a running game, I think Simpkin is a better backup nine than Garlick, to be fair as well, in terms of both these sides are missing, you know, their best player, basically, who is their number nine. And then when I looked at the forwards, I think both sides have game breakers, and it's pretty even as well. So nothing that indicated to me Melbourne should be a big favourite, and that's why I played Wes.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because Toa is like purely a ball-running centre. That's his strength, and you can translate that to 5'8", as we've seen. And Brandon Wakeham, whilst he hasn't been his best in the NRL, Andrew Voss used to say that Dave Fifita was the best schoolboy he's ever seen, but Brandon Wakeham's side would always beat them, beat Fifita's side with him at halfback there. You talk about Storm mixing their recent form. Their last five, it was a 16-point loss to the Bunnies. Then they rebounded with 2 8-point wins over the Broncos and Dolphins with identical scores. Had the bye, but then got thumped by 25 points to the Cowboys and then won by 44 points to the Sharks. So they're a tough side to get a read on, I would say. I'm going to go the Storm here, but I'm going to go them because, you know my rule, don't underestimate this side. I did that last week when I tipped the Sharks. I went against that rule. I said, I think Sharks are up for this. They'll know they haven't beaten a top eight side yet, and they'll get the job done. Well, absolutely horrible tip as it played out, and I underestimated the Storm there. I won't make that mistake again. Brandon Wakeham did struggle last week, I would say, and whilst there are genuine excuses losing your other halves partner in the game and also losing Apisai Kotosau mid-game as well, there could be concerns there. The other thing is the Tigers' best offense is usually through their offloads. And we've seen this year, the Storm generally do have pretty good scramble defense on their goal line, apart from that Cowboys loss. So they might be able to mitigate one of the Tigers' best strengths there. No home advantage in this one, Winnie. The Tigers have lost their last 7 in a row at Campbelltown, and Storm have won their last 5 in a row against the Tigers. So we've got one more game to preview, and then we're going to get onto our mid-season review. But before we get to our last game, we're going to get an exclusive market insight from Tristan Merlihan, who is the CEO of Top Sports. So let's go to Tristan now.
G'day everyone, it's Tristan Merlihan here from Top Sport. We've got a shortened week this weekend with Origin, obviously, on Wednesday night, and it's been a very tricky week to price. There's been some big moves already, which is on the back of team list, but also a bit of uncertainty now on where these markets should be sitting. The Panthers game against the Cowboys has been a big go towards the Cowboys. That line's gone from 6.5 into 3.5. And then the Knights have been very well supported against the Roosters, 3.5 out to 5.5-point favourites. So they've been by far and away the biggest moves. Just having a quick look at Origin as well, 3.5 out to 4.5 Queensland. But there has been a bit of support for New South Wales, both of the head-to-head and that plus 4.5. So looks like that market's probably going to stay around there, I'd suggest. We're at the halfway point of the season, just having a look at a few of the futures markets. I'd suggest the biggest surprise for me has been the Broncos. They were obviously good to start the year last year, then they dropped off. I probably thought they, I didn't know if they'd regress, but I certainly wasn't thinking they'd be flying as high as what they are. They're into $5.50 favourites, well, not favourites, should I say, third favourites, where they were 20-1 at the start of the year. So they've been a big move. Probably for me, the biggest surprise, obviously the Dolphins, they've been a fantastic story. I was certainly in the camp that I thought they'd run close to last, and they've been very, very good. But probably the underrated real improver to me has been the Warriors. They've been awesome, and I think the way they're playing there, they're going to be there or thereabouts when the whips are cracking. I think they've shown that they can match it with most sides. So $26 about them, but they really seem like they're on the right trajectory as well. For the top eight, our biggest liability at the moment, which is in the balance after their win on the big win against the Bulldogs, they're into favourites again now to make the eight, and that's the Eels. We've laid quite sizable bets on the Eels to make the eight once they got out to a good price, obviously on the back of their slow start of the season where they did have a really, really tough draw. So plenty of different options up for the rest of the season. Make sure you check them all out. Hopefully you back a winner over the weekend, and of course, gamble responsibly. Thank you.
No, he hasn't pressed stop. There was another 10 seconds of that video. Lucky I could find the stop button. Who knows what happened? You have to watch Tripod Uncut for that.
Yeah, you got to subscribe to that one. That's very exclusive stuff. Just looking at the lines when you are being live, Panthers are now -2.5. So Cowboys have moved in by 2 whole points. No,
it was 3.5. So it's basically the same thing.
Okay. Were Knights 5.5 originally, -5.5? Yep. That hasn't moved, and I think the Melbourne Storm have moved. The Tigers, who you've played, have moved. They're +6.5 now, so one short as well.
So there's
been a little bit of movement while we've been
and
here.
Like, you know, hopefully that makes sense to people. 3.5, 2.5 is basically the same because nobody really wins by three, very unlikely. 7.5, 6.5 is not quite the same because you can win by seven because you can, you know, obviously opt for that field goal to push it beyond a converted try. So that's why I sacrifice the 5 cents for my best bet there.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And yeah, of course, thank you to Tristan for the uncut edition there. Our sign-up code to TopSport is TP Live. And if you do sign up to TopSport to take advantage of some of the offers we've got tonight, then make sure you message the Tripod Facebook page if you do sign up. Sunday, 4:05 p.m. I don't know why they don't just kick off at 4, but it's 4:05 on the dot. Sharks host the Bulldogs. We're at PointsBet Stadium. The line is set at -12.5 in the Sharkies' favour. One change for them, Royce Hunt is out. Tom Hazelton comes back in. For the Bulldogs, their main change is Josh Adokar out in Origin. Braden Burns comes in now. This is the largest line we've got this week. I'm still leaning towards the Sharkies, if I'm absolutely honest. Do you see it that way as well?
Yeah, I lean to the Sharks. Unlike last week where I liked the biggest underdog of the week, I don't like the Bulldogs. And for one, you got 15th on the ladder, losing more Origin players than 5th on the ladder. Now, mind you, it's only a loss of 1-0, but still, you're 10 places higher on the ladder and it's your opponent that's got more holes to cover than you. As I mentioned in the recap, the Sharks are a funny one. They're kind of nearly out of excuses. The last 2 weeks have been probably a couple of their worst of the year. But maybe the excuse is this. The Sharks played Brisbane and then they played Melbourne. And sometimes it is that simple. You play a really good team and that team produces their best football and they're going to make you look poor. So the perfect tonic for Cronulla could be coming in and playing a poor footy side. And I'm sorry, but that's what the Bulldogs are right now. And I wish I'd been on Parramatta, but what kept me off Parramatta on the King's birthday game was the uncertainty, the circumstances around Dylan Brown, how they react, right? So then when I watched that game, because I haven't reacted to that yet on the pod, I was hoping the Dogs could prove me wrong, but they did not. They didn't really stand up and they, you know, it wasn't much of a game at all. So will they get a response this week? You know, I do think Seraldo will test them. And you've got Burton kind of snubbed for Origin. And TPJ, of course, will be mad. But whether that makes him play better, I'm not sure. You can say exactly the same thing for Nico Hines as well. So all in all, simply put, this is a case of a really good team. Well, a pretty good team in Cronulla off a very bad loss. And probably the worst loss they've had under Fitzgibbon. So I think the Sharks will come in and win well, probably do to the Bulldogs what Melbourne did to them. It's just this line's gotten a bit much now, being beyond 2 converted tries. And as I said, if Seraldo pushes his troops to respond in this game also, and if the Sharks come in and prioritise defence and completion rate, 2 things that were really, really bad in Melbourne, maybe they don't necessarily blow the Dogs out. So I don't have a best bet. I imagine most people watching are going to go Sharks or Sharks 13 plus with a couple of try scorers in their same game multi. And I'm not going to talk people out of that. And have you got any leans yourself, Clarkie, for who you might suggest to throw in said multis?
Yeah, well, Mulitalo has, I don't have this in my notes, but I think it's 19 tries in his past 19 at points, but he seems to get a try every game at home outside of Sir Sifatalakai there. So that would be an option. And I'm of two minds here, Winnie, because Seraldo's press conference was all about saying Our New South Wales Cup side absolutely smashed and scored 60-plus points. A lot of those guys are ready to come into the NRL, and if our players don't step up, they will be dropped. He didn't drop anyone, so I'm guessing he's put them on their last stand in this game. But then I have to turn around in the same vein and say, are you telling me after what we've seen from Nico Hines the past, or all of this year and last year, that he's not going to bounce back against the Bulldogs with respect to the Bulldogs? Like, Hines has played not his best footy the last two, three games, I guess, if you want to include Origin 1. I wouldn't. You could. It's just there's two giant towers here, and I can't get over either one to give any sort of tip of confidence in this one. Sharks are coming on into this one off the back of back-to-back losses, like I said, which has been really rare for them. The last time they actually lost back-to-back was in the 2022 finals, and then in rounds 21 and 22 in 2021. So that's only twice in the last two full seasons they've done it. It's very rare. Bulldogs are 2-6 in their away games this year, and they've not won at PointsBet Stadium since 2011. So, like I said, I'm stuck on the Serato press conference versus Nico Hines having a bounce-back game. For that reason, I will lean with the Sharks 13+ if I've got to give a tip, but I'm not 100%, convinced on it either. Anything further from yourself on that game before we get into our 2023 mid-season review?
No, let's jump into that now.
Perfect. Let's start with our Premier's prediction. In the preseason, I believe you had the Roosters. Let me rephrase that. I believe you had the Roosters, and I know you're not still with the Roosters, so who have you got instead?
Yes, so now I'm going to go Rabbitohs if I have to pick it right now. I think there's three heavyweights, with Penrith still being right up there, possibility of three-peating, and I'm going to put Brisbane right in there in that conversation. And if you're going to press me for a grand final, I'm going to take the Rabbitohs over the Broncos right now, because I think it's so hard to, it's so hard to go back-to-back, let alone back-to-back-to-back. But I know they've got their injury issues kind of right now, but I think the Rabbitohs have the highest ceiling of any team this year.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Panthers. I am going to back them to go back-to-back-to-back. The last few weeks, I think they're starting to show us what they're about when they're full strength. Nathan Cleary will be out for that little bit now, so he'll come back rested towards the important part of the season again. I did have the Roosters in my preseason predictions. I'm going to put my hand up and just say I got that one wrong. If they do come back, I'll look pretty silly, but I just can't see
them. If they do come back, just roll the tape from preseason.
Yeah, and delete this one. This one never happened. This episode, we cut short at 50 minutes if anyone ever asks. So I'm going to go the Panthers. And if you want a runner-up for me, I'm going to go the Rabbitohs. I think the Rabbitohs were pretty unlucky not to be there last year, really, because they would have put up a better fight than the Eels did, as you said on one of our previous pods. I think Rabbitohs and Panthers will meet again in a grand final. And I think Panthers will get them again in that one. Dally M medal. I've got an absolute smoky for this one.
It's not that smoky, I don't think. I think a lot of people, and I'd love to see what other people think. So comment now, guys, who's your premiers and who's your Dally M? But I think this is quite a popular choice.
I'm happy to kick this one off. Sorry, mate, my thing froze there. Sorry if I cut you off. I'm happy to start this one. I had Nathan Cleary in the preseason. I believe you had him as well, not correct. With that injury now, I don't have him still. He'll just miss a few too many games for my liking. Now, for what it's worth, guys, when the Dally M went behind closed doors, I went and plugged every single name and every single point into a spreadsheet. And since that point, I've been giving my 3-2-1s for each game. So I am tracking this quite closely. I've currently got Sean Johnson in third. Now, Sean Johnson is only behind Reece Walsh and Payne Haas, who both will miss at least three games with the three buys that Broncos have not had yet. I looked at the draw. The Warriors have six games in New Zealand to finish this season. Every time they've played in New Zealand, Sean Johnson has been awesome. Exceptional, brilliant. Like, his games have been so awesome in front of the home fans there in New Zealand. So I'm going to go maybe not as bold as I thought. Seems like some people do like him as well. But I'm going to go Sean Johnson. And can I say, Winnie, I'll put my hand up right now. One of my bold predictions in the preseason was with TMM, Ronald Volkman, Dylan Walker, Chanel Harris-DeVito had just left. There was someone else. They've got another halves option there. I actually said by the end of this year, Sean Johnson will end up in reserve grade and retire. So I've got it horribly wrong, and I've gone from one extreme to the other, but that's the form he's in. I've got to do it. Who have you got for your Dally M medal?
Now, when you did your spreadsheet, you're aware that you can get six votes per game, not three this year?
Yeah, but that's because there's two people voting.
Are you just plugging in like 6, 4, and 2 you think should get it?
So I'm going 3-2-1. So I'll still get the right winner at the end, but I won't have the right points.
But I feel like it would be magnified because if someone's clearly man of the match, they're going to get it by the two voters and they're going to get 6 points and they're going to make up more points, you know, than an opponent. So I actually think if you're going to just give a 3-2-1, you actually should double it to account for the fact that that's how many votes are up for grabs per game. Before it went behind closed doors, Cleary was second. So I don't think he was a bad preseason pick by either of us. And the reason I actually also will go with Sean Johnson with you is I look at the other candidates and I was tempted to go Reece Walsh, but he's clearly splitting votes with Payne Haas and Reynolds. I was tempted to go Cody Walker, but clearly splits votes with, you know, Latrell Mitchell, Cam Murray. Harry Grant is going to share some votes with Munster. Johnson is a much more like Nicho Hynes. When his team goes, he is the head of the snake. So good luck to Sean Johnson. Love to see him win it. And next, you want to talk about top try scorer? I'll just lead straight into that one. Sivo leading with 16 tries might just win it, but I do think the loss of Dylan Brown on that left side attack could hurt the amount of meaties that Sivo scores. So I'll be cheering your boy, Alofeana Khan-Pereira. He's got 13 in 12 games, and I want to shout out The Undertaker, who is watching right now. He tipped him in our group at $15 to be the top try scorer. And while we're on that note, Jermaine Asako, who I think has 13 tries this year, The Undertaker tipped at 11-1 to be the top point scorer in the competition, which I think now would be like a better than an even money shot.
Yeah, he is well ahead of that point scoring conversation. That's some excellent future betting there. My top try scorer, I'm going to be really boring here. I had Coates in the preseason, and he's only on 7 now, so I don't think he'll have enough to get there. Going to go Alex Johnson. He's only 4 behind the leader there in Mike Acevo. I think Bunnies will get all the way to the GF. So, I predict they'll be in pretty good form for the rest of this year. So I'll go boring. I'll go Alex Johnson leading it again. He always just seems to find a way to, you know, be a little bit behind and then just score 3 tries in games back-to-back or whatever it is and shoot to the top. So I think he'll do it again. Do we want to go Wooden Spoon or do we want to leave that one?
No, you do Spoon, sure.
Yeah, well, I went Dragons in the preseason. And unfortunately for Dragons fans, I haven't really seen too much that has changed my opinion on that. I said I think Dragons will get spooned because they will get halfway through the year, realize Anthony Griffin's not their long-term coach, sack him, and it's pretty much what's happened. So I can't really sit here and say anything else at this stage. I still think it'll be Dragons. Believe your pick was the Dolphins. You still going that way?
To say it. The thing is, I've watched so much sport. I've watched the NRL for, I hate to think, 25 straight years. And what that's taught me is how important connections, continuity, chemistry is. And that's what I believed going into this year. And look, we all underestimated the Finns roster. I'm included in that. A lot of people probably underestimated how good they'd all be. But the way they've played together, and you know what? I've just watched that documentary, Dawn of the Dolphins, and they've only got some of their best rep players training in January, you know, after the World Cup. What they've been able to do this year has been incredible, been outstanding. 40-point loss last week, notwithstanding, right? But I'm happy to be wrong because the Dolphins are not going to get the wooden spoon. I don't think they make the 8 either, but they've done me and the region proud. If I have to change my spoon tip now, the Dragons are currently bottom. I think that's not a bad pick by yourself, but I think removing Hook could be worth a couple of wins. It could actually have energized the squad. So I hate to say it, and they're my best bet this week, but I have to go Tigers. I think it's brutal to lose Dewey for the season. Appy, I think, could be out longer than the 6 weeks they've said. You know, Brooks is out at the moment. I was tempted to say the Bulldogs, but they've probably just got just too much to finish last. So it's tough, but I'd probably say the Tigers. And it's worth remembering, if you watched our preseason show, Toppy was offering the Tigers for a back-to-back spoon at $13. That's now paying about $2 if you would jump on today.
Wow, so even money. I mean, yeah, I think Tigers would be my second pick if I had to say one as well, just looking at where they're at and the injuries they've got. But we are quickly approaching that 1 hour mark, so we will wrap up the show here unless you've got anything further to add, Winnie, for future picks.
A couple more things. Well, I want to know who people think will make the 8, and I also felt like I should touch on the season multi. So the season multi is not looking good. Look, Panthers and Rabbitohs to make the 8, that'll happen. Eels have to make the 8. I'll say yes, it's not a certainty. But I've got the Roosters and Cows making the 8 in my preseason multi. And I think a question came through before, would I play the Cows at $6 to make the 8? I think that's value. But clearly, it's not a likely event. They've had a poor start. But we'll see how North Queensland goes, you know, on Friday night. There's still a chance they can climb back in. I've got the Raiders not finishing top four, and I think they'll do well to finish top eight. And I've got the Storm missing the four, which right now is 50-50. So $11 you got about my preseason multi. It's truthfully probably closer to a 1 in 30, but none of those legs are out yet. So keep cheering them on if you are on that, because when you look at the ladder as on the screen, although only the first nine teams are there, there is only one win separating the Sharks, who are fifth, from the Cowboys, who are 14th, you know? In fact, yes, there's one win between those sides, right? So like, that's like nine positions on the ladder. So any team that's in that kind of, I was going to say cluster, we don't even swear on the show. Hey, we're family friendly. So cluster bomb, I don't know, another word for it. Logjam in the middle of the ladder. You win four out of five and you're in the eight. So that could be the case for anyone. It's kind of pick your preference. But if people want my new top eight, I'm going to say the current top five are all going to be there. Penrith, Brisbane, Storm, Rabbitohs, Sharks. And then the next three spots, I do have to give it to the Warriors. I will say the Raiders will stick in there. And I'm going to say the Eels are going to get above Manly, which would be two changes from who I went preseason. That would be dropping out the Cowboys and the Roosters. And preseason, I did not have the Warriors or Raiders. But after 15 rounds, those are my changes. What would you change, mate?
Yeah, I'm just going through the ladder now. I didn't prepare for this segment like I should have. It's, you know, there is the ladder predictor tool on the NRL website for anyone interested. Yep. So I think Panthers, Broncos, Storm, Rabbitohs, lock them in. They're there. They're not leaving the top eight. The Sharks, there is some concern there because they are yet to beat a top eight side. They've lost to six or seven of the eight currently there. So that's not very good viewing at all. Warriors, I love the way they're playing. I'll lock them in. I think Raiders will have enough grit as well. So really, I've locked in seven. That leaves one more spot. I think everyone knows what my heart says. That's Titans. I'd love to see us there. But I will be completely honest. When I did the ladder predictor last night, we have three really tough games to finish off the season. And we would need to win at least two of them to get there. I'm not sure if we will. I'm just getting those games up now. As we get towards the end of the year, we verse Sharks in Sydney, Panthers at home, Storm in Melbourne. We need to win at least two of those three. It'd be super tough to do. So, look, for the sake of the show, I'll say probably the Eels will get that last spot. I've sort of stuck with the notion that I think they're a tough enough side to get to the finals despite their poor start. But then, you know, just being realistic, looking at the teams under that, that would be Seagulls, Titans, Dolphins, maybe the Roosters, Knights, Cowboys, that are all like genuine chances to get into those last spots in the top eight. If I'm being absolutely honest, the only teams I'm really putting a line through when I don't think they'll play finals from this point is Bulldogs, Tigers, and Dragons. And I feel the same.
Yeah, so that's the distinguish I made up until 14th, which is currently North Queensland. I think everyone's alive. It makes for compelling viewing, and it means every game, including some of the ones on this weekend, are going to be all so important. So that was an opportunity we took this week because there were only five games to preview to get our teeth sunk into some future predictions. So I did have a good look at that stuff today. And in fact, we've both gone the same top eight, although you'd love to see your Titans. Hey, if it was first halves only, your Titans would definitely be a top eight side. So if they can replicate their first halves in the second, they'll probably win the comp, mate. But that's a good solid 63 minutes we've given the followers this week.
We have. And just before we get over here, guys, remember to sign my petition for the NRL to officially shorten their games to 40 minutes. You can find that at clarkiescolumn.com. And you're right. There'll be no tanking for future draft picks for the next UL Embiid MVP bets. Hey, mate. Every team will have to be going hard towards the end of this one, which is exciting. Thank you for everyone who's been with us tonight. We're excited to have you here. We hope you enjoyed our show. And of course, we will be back on Sunday after the final game to recap all of the action and probably talk a little bit more cheeky Origin because it is that time of the year. But from myself and Winnie, thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Cheers, guys. And we'll see you Tuesday as well for Origin 2 preview. So have a great week and we'll chat then. Cheers and Lego.